Evening, Joe.
Evening, Pat. How are you?
Good, mate. Very good. The rains are here.
Yes. Yes. It's, yep. It's, well, I did see you over the weekend, didn't I? In more dusty, hot surrounds up in North Victoria, up in Northwest Victoria, I guess is probably the best way to describe it. And it was dry, but, Looking at the stall gift, pictures this afternoon, so it looks like they got like 60 mils worth of rain
in 60 seconds. Yeah, I think it actually took the record for stall gift. For those of you listening in, stall gift is a regional Vic Australian race that's been running in country Australia for a long time. A lot of champs have run that, but it seems like the weather beat everyone.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, and we have banned ourselves from talking about the weather, but hey.
We have, but it's a celebration because, we haven't had rain, have we? So in the eastern states of Victoria now for months, after complaining about it all summer, staying on a weather topic, then it just stopped raining and everyone's like, oh God, it's dry. But, you know, you're on tank water, we're on tank water. So it's, we rely on what comes from the heavens. So pardon us for being a little bit excited over 30 mils worth of rain.
Oh man, so exciting. When moved out here, it was my mom who actually said, you'll get a lot more in tune with the weather out there. And we, as a family, I told you off air, but it's worth mentioning here, did a little dance and a few yoo-hahs because I accidentally left the tank on while feeding the cows while I went for a 3-hour run. Yeah, not a wise move.
Never good when that happens. No.
So, managed to pull the pants back up today, and the tank should get somewhere back to normal. But it feels really good. And Country Vic is dry as chips, and the Easter Bunny has done its rounds. So,
I hope
everyone had a good one out there and had a an Easter to remember in a good way.
Yeah, Pat's going to have his head in the water tank after the second we're done recording this with his headlight lamp on, seeing how much water he has.
Mate, I've had it. Yeah, I've had it in for most of the day. It's
it's no good, man.
It's no good.
Yeah.
But it's been good. It sort of leads me into my hot take, and my hot take is turning into a slow take this time. So it starts now, but the hot take is to go slow. And the discipline that it takes to go slow when you feel the urge that you need to go fast. I don't know if it's in everyone out there listening, but I have a feeling it's in you that you don't want to leave much on the table, that you want to, go really fast. And that is applicable in today, in work, and then in life. And then the reason why I bring it up here, because it's been strong on the mind, but then it's also, as we're looking at sort of the opportunities, the perils, the next step with AI and the automated world, it's like you can throw the kitchen sink at it, but you've really got to sit back and go a little bit slow as things are moving pretty fast in how your workplace is going to handle it, how your country, how your local municipality is going to handle it, and what you're going to take from and what you're going to contribute. I think go slow here to a degree as it moves fast, but I think you can get pretty lost in the headwinds of, going 100 miles an hour and actually missing the mark there. So that's my hot take. It's pretty slow.
I'll be quick to respond. No. No, mate. It's good. I mean, I think in a world that we live in, taking time to actually think things through is almost that we're becoming more and more conditioned not to think, right? So it's that you're kind of constantly, whether it's, with a device, constantly moving through stuff, or kind of, in life, I think people get very distracted versus, kind of going slow. I think really I read that as more actually having intention about the things that you're actually doing and setting out to kind of actually work through them and, being, I guess, kind of more present in it. Like there's different forms of kind of going slow, but certainly like not panicking is one form of that.
Yeah. And it's pacing. I should say pacing, I think, is the key word. And like that you, to earn the right to go fast, you've got to put in the yards and the thought work, whatever it is in your life that you're trying to get to be able to earn the right to go fast in a way. it's an interesting mind, interesting concept that I've only come across lately, but I've grabbed it with both hands because and implemented it today. I was telling you off air, I'd be, you know, four hammers deep just banging away because it felt like I had to. There was an opportunity, no rain, about to be rain, clean the tank, there's been a problem with the tank, And then if you just sit back and actually think about it, it was the wisest thing was to shut the lid and just let it roll and actually, you know, be proactive rather than reactive in your time, understanding what's there. It's just, for me, it's been an interesting mind shift, but you can definitely see it in the world around AI and the world that we live in as you were going along with, you know, always having a phone in front of your hand, stimuli rushing around your face like you're on the autobahn, gone in the fastest GT out there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, and I think it is, you know, like it's, yeah, I think, you know, kind of slowing down and just, I guess, kind of looking at stuff. So, like, we've had this on our property, we've had this galah who's trying to dig out this nest in this, so we chopped down a bunch of limbs off of one of our big gum trees over summer, but it's got a soft spot in it, which was causing the rot. That's the reason we took limb anyway. But this thing's been digging and digging and digging to dig out this little hole. And I've been sitting there the whole time going, I really should help him, right? I should really get up there and just get the kind of the drills out and kind of actually hollow it out for him. But I mean, he's there, right? But he just goes at it. Like, he's kind of become a little bit of an inspiration. Like, I just watch him up in the tree. Dig away, dig away, dig away. But then he also just sits and just chills on his little spot. So he's trying to figure out whether it's like a good spot to be, a safe spot to be. But he's found a little way to kind of, I guess, kind of connect himself to the tree. But he's taking it slow, but he has intention, right? So he's not there just, you know, just having a cruise and a little bit of a lark around seeing what's going on. He's actually figuring out, is it safe for me to put my family here? Is there a spot that we can sit and guard the nest? Because it's quite open where it actually is. But, you know, he's figuring all of that out. He's going after it with intention and actually kind of working through stuff. And I think that's, to me, what a lot of people miss in today's world is that they're really busy doing nothing versus actually kind of, you know, having a plan and sticking to it, I think is becoming a really lost art in our world. Like, of course you have to, you know, the Mike Tyson thing, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face.
Yeah, maybe.
True, right? But it's true, right? Like, everyone does. But, you know, the counter punch to his punch on that is that you still need to have a plan. You still actually, even if you get punched in the face, you still actually have to have done the training, figured out stuff, and actually have
a plan. Ideally been punched in the face at least once.
Yeah. Or, you know, not by Mike Tyson. I don't think many people have ever enjoyed that experience. But that's the, you know, I think it's becoming something more and more that people tend to, you know, rather than sit back and think about stuff, people instantly jump onto the internet, try to look for the answer. And that's going to be, in the world we're entering, is going to become more and more the norm, is to look to the machine, look to the kind of the center of knowledge to have the answer, rather than actually kind of using that maybe as part of your input, but still actually sitting back and be like, okay, well, what am I actually trying to get out of this? What am I actually going to do with it? And what's my plan to work through it? Having an intention before you set out to start pulling stuff apart.
Yeah, and I think it's so true and well surmised there around where we're at and how we sort of seize opportunity. Intention's so key. You see that with a few waves of past, like you look at crypto, a lot of I suppose our innovation waves. There has been that intentionality for a long time, and then there's obviously jumping on and seizing a moment, and at the same time, like, around a pivot can be the most amazing opportunities, but and lead you down a path that you never thought. But there's something in that I think, and you said it there, a lost art around sort of driving something slow, or something with pacing, understanding that it is a long race and not a sprint. There's something in that, and off the back of our conversations that have varied from frustration at government, frustration at, you know, like poking holes in things. I think one of the biggest, and we learned this at the start of doing this podcast with chatting to a lot of different guests, was like, we spoke to a lot of people who have been change agents, who have pushed, you know, the boulder up the hill over and over again. But it is that consistency and that commitment to see something through and to push and to pry and to try and enact that change or dig that little hole up in that tree for the fam. There's something in that consistency and that pushing that that is there, and you take in the new tools that come in. That was sort of the preference for this, is like for those crew who are out there, like where does that come in and how does that play? How can it help you? And really sitting on that and playing with it. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, get in there and get under the hood and get dirty. It's just don't grab all the tools at once and throw your salad out and just say, this is it, and raise the flag.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I mean, a good way to kind of like, you know, to think about the world we're in is that, you know, like really, unless you're actually kind of, you know, in, you know, the heart of kind of an AI community or in a startup, and it's kind of, it is everything. It's something, right? So it's not everything, it's something. So it's something you have to pay attention to, something you have to, have to learn. But to learn something, you know, depending on who you are, most people don't learn by jumping in and kind of overwhelming themselves. Most people learn by experimentation, having a little bit of a play. How might this work with this, you know, that sort of stuff. And over time, what they do is they kind of become accustomed to using what is really a new tool, versus kind of, it's not, for most people, it's not anything but that, right? So that's the thing I think about a lot, is that AI and things like that, even, you know, even digital, right? I mean, I've lived through that whole thing. Like, I don't know how to code. Well, I do, but C++, no one uses that anymore. But, you know, it's not something it's not something I've done, but I mean, I do understand it. I do understand how kind of, you know, a digital world needs to work, and you can think about it and kind of incorporate it into your life, but you don't have to be an expert in it. You just have to know that it's kind of, how is it going to be useful to you? Right. That's the thing, I think, you know, is that's part of having a plan and approaching stuff with intention and working slowly through things, knowing that you're not going to get there overnight. And, you know, I think we live, you know, this is something I think that's a real challenge of our age, is that people, it's not that they're looking for shortcuts. They just, they're told all the time, they're shown the end state of a story, right? Everything in culture is just like, oh, look at this, right?
The finished product.
Yeah. Or, you know, 6 weeks and you can lose 20 pounds, or 6 weeks and you can run a marathon. Well, I've got news for you. You fucking can't, right? If you want to keep doing it, right? You might be able to do it as a one-off, but that's not a habit. That's not a
sustainability.
No, that's absolutely not.
Yeah. It's really not. And that's where I think that first you got to have that vision and then the courage to see it through. And then in terms of that pacing or going slow, especially in the AI space, it's allowing yourself to actually get your head above water if you can, and seeing those opportunities. I think that's where the idea of going slow or pacing comes from, because you don't actually look around and see what the lay of the land is. You're too busy flogging yourself because you think this is a once in a millennial opportunity to
go for it.
And I think it's not actually the wise play here. I think you can do sprints and do fast movements and go hard. And if it lands, see where it takes you then. But to be always flogging yourself or always sprinting, or it's just not a sustainable approach.
No, and I do wonder, maybe this time will be different, right? Maybe this time will be different in terms of that, you know, I think so many people, like crypto, kind of like all the dot-com booms and stuff, like so many people did startup, right? And kind of, you know, have done that for like 20 years. And I just wonder whether the energy is going to be the same this time. Like the stats still say that there's less companies being formed now than ever, right? And a startup is a company. Most of them incorporate at some level. So it does make me wonder whether or not this is going to be exactly the same as other ones that have gone before us, in terms of, like, you know, everyone saying it's a gold rush, it's this, it's that. I'm sure it is at some level, but whether it's going to be the thing that, you know, everyone's jumping on board and, you know, starting, I don't know, like a dog food delivery business, you know, powered by AI, magically figures out your dog's diet. My dog loves Easter eggs. So that's, we've discovered that.
Free data for all the starting startups. Yeah.
But I mean, what do you reckon to that? Do you think it has that same manacle energy that, you know, kind of the company .com or kind of crypto? Yeah.
The froth is there. It's the learning curve that hasn't landed yet.
Yeah.
The froth, the excitement. That's sort of what this original chat is like haphazardly around. It's like just a bit of caution to that pre-froth. I don't think the like that's why it's sort of saying it is, because I think you could throw what you've been working on or what you are about now and put it into something where, say, ChatGPT or Microsoft and OpenAI have a platform where you can turn your now business into a an AI super horse. Like, that's where it's sort of going, the platform. We spoke about the power of platform.
Yep.
And I feel like that'll be the .com, and it'll make it really, except like the arguments there, it'll make it super accessible because everyone can now code just by having a friend who's powered by Navitas amazing chips. You can now be, you know, whoever you've ever wanted to be. Put your cape on and go for it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the story, you know, like, I mean, I guess where we both were, you know, over the weekend is like, that's the story of like even the Victorian gold rush, right? It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's just the platform is the person who won. You just, the person who showed the picks and the shovels, you know, in a gold rush was actually the person who got rich, right? It wasn't the person going out to kind of do the digging. And it's, you know, it's the same in this. And I do wonder though, whether this time will be slightly different. Right, whether it's,
I like you wondering,
because it's been played, it's much more of an efficiency play inside existing organizations. So whether there's enough like room for kind of like multiple different AIs that are going to scale, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, but fair enough. I feel like there will be just by so much redundancy, and then there's going to be so many different ways of going about new things.
don't have a job, so I may as well create an AI startup. Yeah,
but on that, actually, like, and people are just susceptible to the new shiny thing. Like, we've always known that. That's what moves news, moves people, and often moves wallets for a short amount of time. I'm not saying it's a sustainable play, but it often has an early habit of doing that. And it's a frothy wave that happens in our economies. And it seems due for a weird wave like that, because we're coming off the back of pretty tight economy. And then it's bound to, I'm not an economist here and I have nothing to do with the central banks, but it seems like it's going to open it, you know, in the not too distant future. Otherwise, it's going to be a pretty feudal system or like a frugal system for a long time.
Yeah, if not a feudal system, definitely a frugal one for sure.
The old tongue twister got me there. And
not bad. Freudian slip. Yeah.
I don't know, that's the take. But where you went with picks and shovels and gold rushes, it's amazing the legacy these things have in terms of where people move and what that leaves. It's going to be fascinating time. Like, regardless, I feel like it's drawn off a new something. It's just what that is yet to be defined.
For sure. I'm not sure it's going to be like the other times, right? Every boom has a unique story, and I wonder what this one is.
What do you think it'll be then?
I guess the .com boom was very much around, there was actually no investment return, right? So there was no investment return anywhere else. So, right, starting getting $2 million to start a pet food, like what literally a pets.com, you know, it's kind of the classic story of the .com thing.
Now it's happening. Pets.com is finally happened.
Yes, true. But there was no return anywhere else in the world, right? So they're like, you couldn't get a return on your money, right?
Okay. So I don't know what you're saying.
Crypto, if you think about it, crypto was that all money was free. So it made sense to kind of actually try to create another type of currency that kind of, you know, offered less friction kind of than the central bank did, because money was basically worthless, right? Money was actually becoming less worthless over time. So kind of crypto came out of that type of thinking. Whereas at this instance, you know, the stock market's never been stronger. If you have money and you put it away, you've never made more money, right? In terms of actually the return. So where is the impetus to kind of do this sort of stuff?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's coming to a crash course, because eventually the feudal frugal systems gonna have to lower its standard because it's obviously dishing out a certain amount of cash to a certain class, asset rich.
Yeah.
And it's gonna have to get somewhere back to where it was, where money wasn't.
But AI takes so much energy and so much money to actually have the compute behind it, right? So that's the thing. Like that's, you know, like that's why I think it's more maybe is more like the gold rush, where it was, it took so much energy to get a piece of gold out of the ground that kind of, you know, that's, you know, literally whether that was you digging or you using kind of, you know, what whether you used to use arsenic to kind of basically kind of, you know, get to be able to actually kind of boil it almost to actually get the gold up. Not sure, like, but it's like it's not like an, it's not really an ideas game, right? AI, like the way that I look at it so far is that it's not what new thing are you going to come up with out of AI? Like you, like there's no, not a lot of games that are AI based. Maybe there's.
But that was the same with the .com. It's like the .com was like, what are you going to do? Oh, I'll just turn a pet shop into a .com. Like that's was literally, and I think that's literally what's going to happen with AI.
Yeah,
it's,
maybe.
And it's going to turn a digital blah into an AI blah. Like, and people are going to go, wow, for a second. I don't know. I could just be being.
No, I hear you. Like, I'm always curious. Like, but this one feels like it has more. Has more moats around it already, right? So it's very difficult to get in on the game unless you're already in on the game, right? Even
but I don't think you won't be like in on the game, like owning the game. You'll be in on the game being first on stake in someone's moat, and you've got a chance
like a service provider.
Yeah. You're not gonna, like, it's not a race to be the next Facebook or the next, you know, as you so rightly point out, it's so much cash to put in there to be able to, which is sad, but that's the state of where that is. Yeah. Which is dangerous. A service provider, like the platforms are there. It's just that there's a lot at stake.
Yeah, it's true. They've always gone after like existing boxes of money. So I guess like maybe AI is the thing that truly takes out healthcare, right? So where it's kind of
teaching
software hasn't been able to do it. So it might be more that type of stuff where you see these like scaled health education kind of providers in an AI sense that kind of breakthrough in that area, because it's like really like the success of like Facebook and kind of all those types of things was that there was a pot of money at the end of it called TV media, you know, money that they basically went, okay, Uber was the same in transportation, is that there was a pot of money at the end so that
if they didn't know that at the start.
Oh no, they knew that.
Facebook, I don't reckon.
I'm not sure.
Giving Zuckerberg way too much credit there.
I'm not sure Zuckerberg knew it, but definitely the people investing in it knew it, right? So, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think anyone who's an investor at some level doesn't understand what they're going after in the end state, right? I mean, I think, you know, like Uber is a really great example of that. They knew full well what they're going after.
Uber's a different beast.
But Facebook was a different beast, right? It started and then it was like, oh, we're going to bring all the world together and kind of all of that sort of stuff. And then once they were like, okay, well, how are we going to monetize this? Once that language started to come in, once they did
that language wasn't there for ages. That's what's weird about it. And that they nailed it. That's what's strange that could happen with the thing. But I think you're hitting on an industry that's pretty ripe. Media got stolen by digital for sure. In terms of that industry,
healthcare, education, what else could go to AI? Who knows? Yeah,
parenting.
Well, that would be. Yeah. Well, could happen. Could happen. Yeah, could happen. Yeah, you know those little robots. I'm not sure if you've seen those. Those little robots that hang out with your kid. Have you seen those things?
Yeah, I haven't bought robots.
So they're like these little like fluffy toy thingos. So they're like because this is what's I think about to come. Like it's not that it's gonna like it's like to be like an AI startup. I don't think you can be like a software startup. It tends to be like people are building like robots. So it's like or automation. So it's like it's takes a camera. It takes the ability to build. Robotic motion, but then the kind of the win these people has, they made this like cute, it looks like a little doll, but it's yeah, it's like the kid's best friend. So it basically talks to the kid, learns how to answer them the way that they want to be answered to, which sounds, you know, sounds great. I think every kid needs their ego reinforced from the age of three. It's very healthy for them. But that's
mom and daddy are
your dad's out to get you. Yeah. One, we should end this. Did you know that in my research he's worth more money dead than alive? Yeah. Together we could have this whole house.
We could rule the world, Timmy.
You can clearly see it. It does sound a bit like a South Park episode, but it's probably happened. It'll probably happen at some point.
For sure. So look out, world. Go slow, because it's coming fast.
Yeah. I was watching, side note to end us with, speaking of going slow, like, do you ever watch like Pete Sammartino, the YouTuber who just kind of like, sometimes he goes into like just different communities everywhere and has a chat to people, like wandering around with a camera, kind of out here chatting to random folks that he meets. But he did this one where he went to an Amish community, right? And I was sitting there, I was watching this, I was like, I wonder if like this is what they're gonna say about like people who don't, you know, don't get in, or like, you know, don't use smartphones, or kind of like, I wonder if they're gonna start to organize and become a community, right? Because they don't like to use electricity, right? So it's, you know, but the younger ones use it, right? So it's kind of like, it's interesting about how all these things kind of morph, right? So they all morph over time. But I do wonder whether, like, you know, AI, if you don't get into it, whether you're going to end up in some, like, you know, kind of quasi-religious cult after a while. going slow. Yeah, I prefer to use Google search. I prefer Google search.
I'm still loading the latest
thing. Yeah, exactly. I stopped getting iPhones at iPhone 9. Yeah.
I think it's a good place to end it on a confusing note of what going slow is. Make it up for yourself, whatever it means. If it's joining an Amish community, hey, it might be for you at that time. Joey sounds like he's going to join an Amish community.
Yeah.
And hey, I'll visit you.
I'll post my new movements details in the show notes. No, but in all seriousness, it's about intention. No, it's about true. Having intention about how you approach stuff, right? So it's not, you know, you can't jump in with like both feet, as you're saying. Like, I think it's actually kind of looking and seeing it like positive and negative, and really making a decision for yourself about how you want to interact with it, not what the world's telling you you should do.
Yeah, and understanding yourself. I just have Lionel Messi in my head nonstop. I'm not saying I'll ever be like the man, but just that phrase, go slow, to a young fella coming up, when people are always just trying to run their hardest, when they're trying to achieve something great. I think the instinct is to always run as fast as you can, always do as hard as you can. But there's wisdom in going that slow to see where you are, what you can do, then go fast, dribble around the field and be an Argentinian god. But that's not for all of us, but there's definitely some wisdom in it.
Yeah.
Join an Amish community and then go slow.
Yeah. And play for Inter Miami with your Nokia device.
And then all the haters cutting hate.
Yeah, who needs a tractor? Who needs a tractor when I've got my handy scythe?
Yeah, handy scythe and my trusty Nokia. Yeah.
All right, on that note, Patrick, it's been a pleasure as always.
As always, go the rain.